Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
We have a lot of people that are out, that are sick. You see, Janet and Michael and the girls are in Washington, our estate. Carlina's in Virginia. Edwin has been having problems with vertigo. So keep him in your prayers, because that's a continuing problem that he has, especially at his age. It's good to see the rest of you here. We have visitors. Where are you from?
Melbourne Beach.
Melbourne Beach? How are you? Good to see you, Bob. I didn't even recognize you. How have you been? Good to see you. Have a seat. Okay. Who else we got? How are you?
I'm fine.
Have you been? You've been here before?
Yeah, the last Sunday.
Last Sunday. You look different today.
No,
not. No haircut? Yeah. Good. Have you started work yet?
No.
When does all that start?
On Monday.
On Monday?
Tomorrow.
Good, good. Enjoy it. Okay. With the, and did they tell you an exact job yet, or that's when you find out tomorrow?
Merchandise department.
But what? You don't know yet. Well, good. We'll find out the next time. Okay. Okay, good. It's good to have you here. Who else? How are you? Where are you from? Oh, good. Welcome. We're glad to have you. Okay. What are you doing now that you graduated from St. Tikhon's? Huh? What kind of work are you doing? A waiter where? You can give a plug here. Oh, the one, the cruise ship that's here? Good. And where are you from?
My name is Daniel. I'm from Tampa.
Okay, good. We're glad to have you here.
It's good to be back home.
Anybody, I think we got everybody covered? Okay. This past couple of weeks, they've had lots of things in the press about the murder of the abortionist. And murder is never to be condoned, and his killing was decried, in fact, by numerous pro-life organizations. But it was amazing to hear him eulogized as a martyr, and even compared to Dr. Martin Luther King. Here was a man that had murdered thousands of children in the womb, being called a hero and even a saint. These misdirected accolades brought to mind a passage from the prophet Isaiah, and I couldn't get it out of my mind. It kept coming over and over. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe be unto those who speak of evil as good and good as evil. We're surely in a time when evil is spoken of as good. From Washington comes abortion, spoken of as pro-choice. In Washington State and in Oregon now, we have euthanasia, spoken of as death with dignity. Sexual perversions are displayed on television and in the movies, and they're called the part of the alternate lifestyle. Promiscuity is part of the sexual revolution and the liberation of women, and government lying is called plausible deniability. From Hollywood, in its movies or TV shows, comes pornography, known as art, foul language, which we call reality, and graphic violence, entertainment. Just as evil is being called good, so too is good being called evil. The Bible is banned in our schools. Virginity is a disease. Prayer is acceptable only if Jesus' name is not spoken. Marriage is only a piece of paper, and now mocked as by a union of perversion in several of our states. This was all foretold by Paul in his first letter to Timothy. And he writes this in the fourth chapter. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, doctrines of demons. Many so-called Christian churches have embraced such doctrines of demons. And I think that we are, even in the Orthodox Church, we are still taken up with that political correctness. And we don't want to say, well, you know, that is not of God. Saw on the internet that the Episcopalians have recently appointed a new president of the Episcopalian Divinity School in Cambridge, which has a partnership with Harvard. The president, the Reverend Dr. Catherine White. She was the unanimous choice of the Board of Trustees and reported in the Boston Globe to be a lesbian proponent of abortion and gay, lesbian, and transsexual issues. This is from the same church that ordained as bishop a man who left his wife and children to live with a man. Worst of all, this conduct and these beliefs are held out as ideals and conduct compatible with being a follower of Christ. They are, in fact, the doctrines of demons. And anyone in that church should come out from there because it demonstrates not from God. When he was murdered, the abortionist was ushering in a Lutheran church. The Missouri Synod had thrown him out because of his lifestyle, but the liberal evangelical wing of the Lutherans had kept him in there because they can't even articulate a position on abortion. And the Methodists favor it as a woman's rights. Doctrines of demons. Paul, again writing to Timothy, this time in his second letter, prophesizes that such will happen among some of those who profess Jesus. This is Paul writing to Timothy in his second letter in the third chapter. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But some of us Orthodox are also guilty of speaking of evil as good. Former U.S. Senator Paul Sarbanes served 30 years, 1977 to 2007, and was a leading pro-abortion senator, including voting no on a bill that would have banned partial birth abortion. But here's what Patriarch Bartholomew said about him in 1997. But among them all, the Greek Orthodox Christians in America, as ecumenical patriarch, we desire to single out one man who sums up your love for the Mother Church, for Orthodox culture, for the highest Christian ideals, Senator Paul Sarbanes. We express our fatherly pride in this accomplished son of the Mother Church, for his unwavering pursuit of righteousness and truth in both his public service to the church and to the people of the United States of America. Well done, good and faithful servant, end quote. I have no intention of fostering disrespect for the patriarch because of this. He probably was duped into this by American Greeks who didn't tell him the truth about Sarbanes. But negligence is no excuse for speaking of evil as good and good as evil. We need to study. We need to listen to the sermons. We need to read scripture. We need to identify evil and speak of it as evil, and identify good and speak of it as good. Each time that we hear evil spoken of as good or good as evil, it can be an erosion of our own understanding of good and evil. A wonderful young woman, not of our parish, very, very religious, in a church that condemns all kinds of perversion, asked me whether or not I thought homosexual activity was really just part of the fact that they were made that way by God. I said, "What is bringing this on?" A friend of hers had graduated from college, she said, with her, went off to a seminary. And there he learned he was homosexual, left, and is now living with a man. We are to love all persons, be they rich man or pauper, virgin or prostitute, abortionist or sustainer of life. That's important to remember. But recognizing our brother's sin as sin and not accepting that sin, okay, is a part of that love. We love the sinner, but we cannot accept the sin. And we cannot, because we love them, start to make sin into good. How are we to know the truth? You know Joseph Goebbels? How many of you know who he is? Anybody know who he is?
Who?
Joseph Goebbels. Propagandist for the Nazis. One of the best propagandists ever to live. He said this: if you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. And that's happening. From Washington to Hollywood. They repeat the lies over and over again, and people start to believe it. We're told that this is the age of enlightenment, that man can solve all his problems. Yet we look at the moral mess that modern man has made of the life that was given to him as a gift from God, and we see that man is creating the problems, not the solutions. He is doing this by deluding himself. There are no absolute truths. That moral conduct is relative. That is a lie. That the seeking of pleasure and the acquisition of material goods are the purpose of man's existence. That is a lie. That no matter the problems facing him, he can solve them without God, who probably doesn't exist anyway. That is a lie. A week ago, we remembered the 65th anniversary of the invasion of Normandy. On D-Day evening in America, 65 years ago, then President Roosevelt went on the radio. And what he did was to ask the people to join him in prayer. And he led the nation in prayer. He didn't lead them in some discourse on how wonderful America was and how they were triumphing over the Nazis, but rather to bend their knee in prayer and to beg God to give for the safety and success of the Allied troops. A prayer that was directed to Almighty God and ended with, "Thy will be done." Now I ask you, during all of the words spoken by all of the politicians during our present economic difficulties, have we heard one word of prayer? This is in part because we don't want to offend anyone, and we no longer even know the truth of who God is. We have a source for the truth that will never deceive us or lie to us or let us down. In John's Gospel, this is the Lord speaking when he says in the 14th chapter, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The source of all truth is revealed to us in the sacred scriptures, which were given to us by the inspiration of God. Jesus and his teachings do not change. The author of the letter to the Hebrews sums this up in one verse when he writes this: "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." And then the very next verse is, "Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines." In the Orthodox Church, we have taught the truth unchanged for 2,000 years. It will not and cannot change, because if it can change, it is not truth. "I am the truth, the way, and the life," coupled with "Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever," tells us the obvious truth being true, the obvious truth that truth never changes. I had a teacher 50 years ago, and I remember him quoting William Penn, and I still remember it. "Right is right, even if everyone is against it. And wrong is wrong even if everyone is for it. The majority does not make right or wrong. I was probably 15 years old when I heard him say that. And I've never forgotten that. Not to go along with the crowd, not to be strayed by that and think that it's true or it's good. Paul warned the Ephesians not to be swayed by strange doctrines, and this warning is good advice for us today. Here's what he writes to the Ephesians. And he's writing in his fourth chapter. And he says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints," that's y'all, "for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, and we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine." Every wind of doctrine that comes up, some new crazy nonsense that's invented, shouldn't push us around like we were a little sailboat in front of a great wind. He says, also, we should no longer be tossed about and carried about with every wind or doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. There are those who will plot to take away the faith. Those who do the work of the devil. And they will plot it by trying to put into our minds the weakness. What's happening throughout America? Nobody wants to come to church on Sunday. And they say to me, how can they stand there for an hour and a half? Yet they'll go to the Gasparilla Parade and stand there for 4 hours. Mostly swaying back and forth because they drank too much. And tell themselves they're having a grand time. Paul goes on to the Ephesians. "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head of Christ." Speaking the truth in love. He says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, who have their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanliness with greediness." Wow, that sounds like it today. Lewdness with greediness kind of sums up what society's about. So then let's speak the truth in love to everyone. Let's speak the truth in love to each other. And let's speak the truth in love to ourselves. "For us, let good always be spoken of as good, and evil always spoken of as evil." Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.